Welcome to Build, Lead, Thrive, Voices of Andras Goggin, a bi-monthly podcast that features in-depth conversations with the people shaping Andras Goggin County. Each episode dives into personal stories, showcasing the leaders and entrepreneurs behind the region's economic and community vitality. I'm your host, Shanna Cox. Hello, President and CEO of the LA Metro Chamber. I'm joined by local talent, longtime friend, and our producer, Mark Turcotte.
Back to my producer role.
I love that.
This episode.
I know. We did a really great flip the script.
We did.
Last time, and you did an incredible job.
Oh,
I'm back to my role as hosting.
Yes. How's it feel?
I kind of liked it when I turned over the reins. You do my part really well. Hopefully I don't fire myself. Here's hoping. Together, we highlight the voices of those building a stronger economy and vibrant community right here in our region, sharing stories of how they build, lead, and thrive. Today, we're talking about what it means to serve, not just in uniform, but in your hometown. From food truck rallies to economic incentives, Ross Cunningham has helped shape Lisbon into a place where people want to live, work, and invest. We're diving into his journey from naval officer to economic and community development director, and how a commitment to connection and opportunity is driving impact. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, that's just a touch of what's
just
to
a
come,
touch.
Sir.
I'm thinking about 50 plus years, and how do I summarize this? I have no idea.
Well, you can tell me how I did. Ready?
Right.
Here's a little bit more about our guest today. He's currently economic and community development director for the town of Lisbon. He's a retired naval officer whose career has been defined by service, first to his country, now to his community. After two decades, thank you for your service
wow,
of military leadership.
You.
Yeah, I'm so many servicemen and women in my family, and so I have genuine appreciation
Excellent.
For your service. You returned home to Lisbon, Maine, and that's where he brings that same dedication and strategic mindset to local economic development. Currently serving as the Economic and Community Development Director, he works at the intersection of public service, business growth, and community vitality, which I've had the pleasure to witness for years. He leverages his extensive statewide business network, built through years of private sector leadership and board service, to create opportunities for both entrepreneurs and residents. Ross projects are as people-focused as they are economically strategic. He created Tasty Tuesdays, a popular weekly food truck rally that activates public space and supports local vendors. It is a tasty way to spend
it
a Tuesday.
It's every other Tuesday, but you're right. It's
right.
Wonderful.
He launched LEAP, the Lisbon Empowerment and
Achievement
Program, and he established the Lisbon Village Attraction Grant to incentivize investment in underutilized spaces. You regularly convene businesses for networking opportunities,
yeah.
Both to share information, to learn, and to collaborate. I'm gratefully invited to those events and love every
Absolutely.
Single one of them. You hold an MBA and has worked across multiple industries, including tech, manufacturing, nonprofit leadership. You've served as president and as CEO of the Kennebec Valley Chamber of Commerce. Special spot in my heart for
Thank
chambers.
Yep.
Yeah. And organizational leadership roles across the state. Part of that was starting Positive Change Lisbon.
That is correct. That was 2012. It's a long
wow.
time ago, yeah.
So whether you're mentoring business owners, coordinating public-private partnerships, or bringing the community together over street food, you lead with purpose, humility, and a commitment to building a Lisbon where everyone can thrive. You call it home.
I do.
And I think that when we're driven by purpose, we show up to work in a different way.
You're absolutely right.
I've always seen that from you.
And it's really, really amazing to have the opportunity to live and work in the same community and to make a difference. And I loved my time at the Kennebec Valley Chamber up at Augusta,
yeah.
But I wasn't from that community. I didn't know everybody there. I learned, and I had a great time,
yeah.
and I really enjoyed that experience. But to live in my town and yeah. get up on a Saturday morning and go see how a business is doing, because it's right down the road.
Yeah.
That's just an amazing opportunity.
I have been living and working in the same community for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I mean, for a little bit in the middle, I did a lot of work in this area, but then I also worked with clients in other communities. And I loved that experience of working outside the area, but man, was I glad to come home and work on projects right
You're
in my hometown.
Right. Yep.
I just, there's something about that that is irreplaceable.
Yeah.
It's just irreplaceable. So before we dive into all of the deeper questions, we like to start with a little getting to know you segment, one where we don't sing.
Well, by request.
That's interesting. Okay.
Turns out copyright really saves us on this one.
Okay. Fair. Well, I could sing an original.
Yeah.
Can
you make up an original? So Ross is actually a musician. We're going to talk. I hope.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're going to surprise to learn about me. But yeah, that's it.
But I could use a little ditty for this segment that was original and didn't get us into trouble. So you keep that in mind.
We will. We can.
You
come
send
up.
Along an audio.
You got a jingle coming.
We'll try it.
You got it.
Piece I'm excited.
I just, could, this we is could great. Do something.
It's what
that
we
would
desperately need, and God knows I don't have the skill to contribute. All right. Mark, tell us about it.
Sure. Before we dive into Ross's work, building community and boosting business in Lisbon, we want to get to know the person behind the role. These quick questions are meant to give us a glimpse of who Ross is when he's not in strategy meetings or leading local initiatives.
So, Ross, what is something people are always surprised to learn about you?
I think we already sort of touched on it. I'm a performer, theater, voiceover, and music. And I do all of it, and I enjoy it, and it takes up a lot of my spare time. I have two dogs, two cats. You know, it's a lovely wife at home, and we're empty nesters and really enjoying that. Hi, Amy. So you can say hi on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, always shout out your significant other.
There you go.
So what's your go-to instrument?
Acoustic guitar. Yep.
See, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six string.
That's correct.
You're not a bass player.
I do play bass as well.
Ah.
So in one of the bands I'm in, the other two guitarists are so phenomenally more talented than I am. I had to pick up something to stay relevant.
So you stuck to the bass?
I picked up a bass guitar and said, I can learn this. Sure. No
I have a, bass player at home.
Do you?
He picked it up pretty quick, but the strings instruments are the blisters, man.
Yeah,
the blisters that come with practice, I guess, is
Lots
what I really...
Lots of practice and calluses. You'll get there.
Yeah.
That's it. So.
Someday.
Yeah, so that's my secret is I love to perform. I love to entertain people. And actually, it's about making people smile. And that's it.
I'm yet to catch you at a full band performance. Oh, the scheduling has not aligned, but it's not from lack of trying on either side.
No.
You've worked across industries and sectors, very diverse ones. What is one job that taught you the most about people?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
I think the military probably did it the most.
Yeah.
And that was... You know, I've always sort of considered the military an amazing cross-section of our society.
Yeah.
It is all people from all walks of life, religious, skin color, ethnicity, all of it.
Geography.
Geography from, you know, folks down south to people from northern, you know, Washington State and all over the world. And it really, you know, learning how to communicate and connect with those people and become friends. And it's sort of automatic because you're put in these situations where friendship is required. You've got to lean on each other.
Trust. And
trust each other completely. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, you know, clearly, obviously had the most impact on my life over 22 years. But I think learning how to sort of connect and find other people's differences and make them important and celebrate that. I think it was a lot of fun.
Well said.
Thanks.
I think in my my family members that have joined the military, I come from a really rural area and it's super homogenous. There's just not a lot of difference, let alone diversity,
right. Where
I come from. And I've watched those family members go into the military and just blossom. In worldview and in relationships and in understanding other people. Right. And I don't know if the military gets enough credit for that.
I think you're right to some degree. But it's interesting now knowing all these same people years later and being on social media with them. And some are way on one side of the spectrum and some are way on the other. And it's interesting because you still say, hey, look, I served with you. I enjoyed you. But I disagree with this point. And we chat it out, which is kind of interesting. So,
well, it's that background of being able to talk across difference instead of discount someone.
That's correct.
On difference. Yep. I still think that's one of the strengths. I know this question's probably going to be easy for you, but I can't wait for my listeners to hear your answer. What is your favorite way to spend a weekend in Lisbon?
Over the last several years, we've gotten to a point where every weekend almost has something to do.
Yeah.
We're becoming very, very supportive, and I think the businesses are really working on that experiential avenue where you have something happening at your business, whether it's a live band or, we have dog events, we have fundraisers, we have all sorts of stuff. Bit of a homebody, so Amy and I like to sort of spend the time around the house. And, as you do, we both work, all day, 24/7.
Long days, a lot
of nights, a couple of meetings every evening. Mm-hmm. And, by the time you get up on a Saturday morning, you're kind of like, oh, I got to mow the lawn. I'm not going to get there, So
groceries, fridge just doesn't fill itself.
Yeah, it just doesn't fill itself. But, I think just hanging around and doing something with Amy or going downtown and, seeing a band or going to an event that's happening down at the waterfront, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got so much there going on. You're absolutely right. let's jump into our first segment, which we like to reference as Build. It starts at the beginning. Build is about the experiences and values that shape who we are and the work that we do. So for us, that journey starts with service and community. You've worn a lot of hats: naval officer, business leader, municipal director. What through line connects those different roles?
Service, really. And it's, you know, not a lot of people talk about this, but, you know, the base closed in Brunswick, I want to say 2009.
Was that where you served?
Yeah. Most of my career was there. I had a very, very lucky career because I went from enlisted to officer, and so I didn't have to necessarily chase all these goals that some officers are chasing because I was already 10 years in when I became an officer.
Yeah.
But the emphasis on community service in the military, specifically the Navy, was overwhelming. You did something, and you were evaluated on how many community service things you got into.
More of that, I say, in the world.
So one of the problems happened was that when the base closed, and this was an unexpected impact, but all of those community organizations that had the Chiefs Association come once a month and clean, or had the First Class Petty Officer Association come help hand out lunches, all of those organizations suffered a real loss in community service support.
That's a really good point.
Because everybody moved away, and that was a real challenge. So I got out of the military and retired, and I sort of felt like, I'm not giving back anymore. I'm not doing something, you know. And again, the impact of the military service was amazing. I got to chase drug runners in the Caribbean. I got to rescue people in the desert. I mean, I got to do some really, really cool stuff. And to go from that to mowing your lawn, that takes a little adjustment, right?
For sure.
So, finding ways to get involved in my local community was really important right out of the gate. And so I looked for a couple of different things. I served on the ethics panel for a while, and I served on the Conservation Commission, which sort of just worked on, you know, green space and that kind of stuff. And then we had a new economic development director, and Amy and I were talking about it'd be really nice to have some live music here in town. And so I went to the economic development director and said, we'd like to have concerts in the little park behind MTM. And she said, well, just go for it. If somebody speaks up, I'll say something. So we had a literally, it was like a plywood flat stage the first year with a 10x10 pop-up tent. And we said, hey, anybody wants to come play for free? We can't pay you, but we'll take a cut. We had four concerts the first year. And now it's, you know, seven or eight concerts a show
with several
hundred people every Sunday night during the summer. And, you know, and that's 16 years later, something like that. Crazy. Yeah.
So for folks who want to catch one, you said MTM. Can you break down that acronym
for
us?
Sure. Marion T. Moore School. It's on School Street in Lisbon. And behind the school, there's a pavilion stage built by Navy Seabees, which is nice. So there's a little stage back there. And they have concerts every Sunday night run by Discover Lisbon during the summer.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And a variety of music from country to rock to everything. Yeah. Food trucks.
Some of my favorite stories and some of my own favorite memories come from these, like, someone had an idea. They just did the thing. They didn't ask for
really
too much permission.
Was,
you
right.
just do it.
Right.
You know, you just do it. See what might happen from it.
And then you get to reflect 16 years later
on what it's become and the impact that it's had. And I think oftentimes we talk about in leadership and in community that, like, it just starts with an idea.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, yeah, no, sure. But, like, it really, really always does.
It does.
Just start with an idea.
It's
and
funny,
somebody courageous enough to give it a whirl.
We were standing at Moxie, and I was talking to a local musician, Brian Patricks, who I think was running an open mic downtown at the time, and a local music shop owner who's since moved away, Tom Doobie. But the three of us were like, we need live music here. And so we just made it happen. As a matter of fact, the first person on the stage was Brian Patricks. And
aww.
I still play with him in a band these days. So it's relationships. It's knowing people. It's getting connected. And, you know, it's really, really cool.
Well, and it's the essence of community.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like you're able to find the place, find the person who has the plywood, find the person who has the pop-up, find the person who has the skills to come together and to try the thing.
And actually, I think this was even pre-Facebook, so I think we put ads on Craigslist.
Oh, I love that. I love that. See, Craigslist is still around, too. People are doing some fun things on it. What were some of the first things you knew you wanted to build when you stepped into your role in Lisbon? So you'd been living there.
Yep.
You'd already started Positive Change. You'd already started concerts in the park.
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew you then.
Yeah.
Like, I knew you in your pre-economic development role. And so as you came to that, tasked with all the responsibilities and opportunities of an economic development role, what was on your like must-do list?
Well, it's interesting because I'd looked at some of the other folks that I knew in the business, and, yeah. and I sort of said, how are they approaching this and what are they doing? And I really took a step back and I said, my title is economic and community development mm-hmm. directors, not just economic.
Yeah.
A lot of offices split it and have two different people, one doing economic and one doing community development. I had both because it's a staff of one, or was. I actually now have a part-time person. But
yay.
Doing that and thinking about both aspects of the position and saying, I want to build community, but I also want to build a business community.
Yeah.
And with respect to what you guys do, it's amazing, but it's not Lisbon. Right? I mean, you guys help us out. You support us.
It's
great.
It can't be. We represent 16.
I've done what you've done, right?
Well, and it's so funny because sometimes, just to take this opportunity, please, please do your unique use. We, Downtown Lewiston Association,
right.
is a member.
Right.
We work with 16 municipalities.
You can't possibly be downtown in
no.
every one of them.
And,
right.
and we get to do our job better when we're able to coordinate with and amplify what you're doing.
Right.
And so...
Right.
I say that because I'm not sure that that's not kind of unique to this chamber. There are a lot of other regional chambers and state chambers who see the creation or advancement of any kind of like microgeography business organization as competition. And I just fundamentally laugh in the face of that. I just don't think that's
right.
the case.
And I think that's the same way we addressed it in the Kennebec Chamber at the same time.
Yeah.
Again, 15 communities, you can't be downtown.
No.
And if the folks in downtown Gardner are supporting themselves, great, let
yeah.
me help.
Yeah.
Right? If the folks in downtown Hollowell are doing it, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's sort of the approach I took is, hey, look, you know, I want to build a business community. And then I want to work on building community in general for folks who live in Lisbon and finding ways to make the whole community better, not just the businesses. We all know that if you start bringing in more businesses, you raise the tax base and, mm-hmm. and everything gets better. But it's also about supporting the community members, too, and
yeah.
finding ways to make it a fun place to want to live. When these people go work in Portland or Augusta or Bath, they're talking about how great their town is. And somebody overhears that and says, oh, maybe, when I'm ready to buy, maybe I should look at Lisbon. You know,
yeah.
And that's sort of create this sort of groundswell rising tide that moves
yeah.
everything forward.
It's so funny that you mentioned like the perception of economic and community development being somehow like disparate, two separate things
right.
that get worked on. When I started here, people would ask me all the time, are you going to be a chamber of business or community? And I would say, yes, and economy. And they're all related.
That's
and there's,
right.
in fact, for me and our team, we tend to say, if there's something that we're going to work on, we're going to start or we're going to contribute that somebody else is organizing or planning, does it check more than one strategy? And we are more likely to say yes and to put more resources into it if it is underpinning more than one strategy around community, business, and economy.
Yeah. They're so interwoven.
Yeah.
You can't run them independently in silos. It just doesn't work.
No. Yeah. Well, and I've had the opportunity to reflect, like you came into economic and community development in my opinion, which take that or leave that for what it is worth, but at one of the best times
right.
to be in that space. But there was a time where economic development was very separate from community,
mm-hmm.
was only about business attraction and TIFs and kind of these technical, very like bureaucratic approaches,
right.
which are necessary tools in the toolbox. Love a good TIF district. Please don't get me wrong. But there was this really kind of separate piece. And I was at a national conference last year where somebody similar to you was in a community and economic development role and was reflecting on their time in economic development as an industry and how the trends have changed. And now business attraction comes from, are there people who live there that are happy? Will that help me have the workforce I need? Right? So like the first question now for business attraction is, what does the community offer? How are the schools? Like it comes
right.
back to
absolutely
community
matters.
Is your business
correct.
Attraction and economic development.
And
before it was so separate.
And don't think businesses aren't scrubbing Facebook pages to read, you know,
no.
all these community pages that people talk about what's wrong and what's right and all that stuff. Businesses are absolutely reading those.
Yeah.
And,
well, they know you and I are going to tell them the best version that
right.
we can.
Right.
That's our job. Of course
yep.
we're going to do
and
that.
And they've got to go out
well.
And find, and I encourage them
right.
to do that and then bring me questions and let's talk
yeah.
about it. Let's
that's
figure
exactly
out what,
that.
You know, what the challenges really are. So.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's a great time to be in the business, and I think
it really
again,
is.
I think things are moving up. And you're absolutely right that it's a full picture approach. You have to do it all. You have to have happy residents, happy businesses,
yeah.
the whole bit.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, it just always comes back to that. And like, well, what about the tax base? Which I, I hear that from, I work with lots of municipalities, and it's an appropriate and valid question and feeds into what services can you offer and
right.
how does that contribute to quality of life. But, you know, fundamentally, if your people aren't doing well, they're going to fall behind on their taxes. They're not,
exactly right.
They're going to move away if they're not happy. And so I love that you already recognize that. And I've seen people in economic development for 20, 30 years, and they come from that kind of previous school of thought. And I've watched it be really challenging for some professionals
sure.
to adopt and integrate the like community and community right. building aspects. Whereas now, you know, placemaking is one of the strategies they're teaching as it relates. And so you came into and then already had that perspective that I've just seen you flourish this role and never really kind of struggle with that dichotomy, what I would call false options.
Sure.
It's a both and, right?
You've got to deal with it all. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've spent enough time with your business owners in Lisbon that I hear that same thing from them, that appreciation of the town's kind of dual approach.
That's nice to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I get a chance to talk about it and hear it, but it is nice for you to be able to hear it as well. Let's talk about LEAD, which is where we explore how guests bring others along, right? So you're already doing building, but through vision, collaboration, and strategy, you get to lead, which is something that you're doing either intentionally or unintentionally almost any time, just given the role and given the work that you do. In your case, leadership shows up through some of the programming, partnerships, and persistence. Let's start with how you define leadership in a community and economic development context.
I think it's just encouraging others to see your vision. Right. Mm-hmm. It's to say, hey, look, or a shared vision. It's what is it people want out of our community? What is it you need? How can we make life better for you? And whether that's a business, whether that's a resident, that's, you know, I get phone calls all the time. This may not be the right number I'm calling, but can you help me? I love those calls because I get a chance to sort of figure out what it is they need and that kind of stuff and steer them in the right direction and answer their question if I can. But it's about helping people understand where it is we want to go and getting folks to buy into that and understand that. And I think it's amazing. One of the things we sort of talked briefly about was the LEAP program. And if I could take a second now and talk about that,
it's
such an amazing program. We got an opportunity from ICMA, funded through the Gates Foundation, to do economic mobility. And the way the grant worked out was that the community gets X dollars, and you then have to figure out how you're going to use that funding to create something that will help your residents move up the economic ladder in some way. Layman's terms, they were saying it's helping folks do better than their parents did.
Yeah.
That simple, right? And it was neat. We were part of a 15 community cohort across the country. It was really nice to hear what some of these other communities were doing. Many of them were adding sort of multilingual services or finding ways to connect with different demographics in their community. And myself and our assistant town manager, Sarah Bennett, and I were sort of heading this program up. And we thought about what can we do to help our residents, wherever they are, get to wherever they want to be, right? So it's not just the lowest income folks or the whatever. It's let's find everybody a way to improve that. And what we came up with was a LEAP program. And what it is it's monthly classes for free at the community center. We actually have, I think, three more left, August, September, and October. But we've done topics on everything, how to write a resume, how to food shop on a budget, how to find a home and prepare to buy a home or set aside to invest in a home. And it's been amazing because it's been coordinated by somebody we hired, but all of the presenters are volunteers.
Yeah.
So reaching out to networks and saying, hey, we've got this really cool thing going on here. We just want you to volunteer an hour and a half of your time on a Thursday night to come in and talk to, you know, 5 to 10 people. They're not huge classes. But we really want to continue this program. So we're working hard on what a second year looks like. How do we fund it? How do we continue it? But I think the really important thing for this program for us is it puts the town in a leadership position. instead of just taking taxes and fixing roads,
yeah,
we're out here saying, hey, we're not just here to provide you basic services. We're here to do a little more and help you move up that ladder in any way that we can. So I'm really excited about the program. It's been a success by all metrics. It's, you know, I think we would have loved 50 people a class, sure, but, you know, being able to put this on and have monthly classes on different topics, and we're looking at a follow-on year that has, you know, resiliency topics and what to do in weather emergencies and little EMA stuff and really exciting ideas coming forward. And I would just love having the program. And again, I think being a community that actually shows that we're taking steps towards our residents being better and how do we help them, I think that's a huge step.
Yeah, that sounds like leadership.
That's a really neat program.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. How long have you been in this role now?
Just over 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, time does fly,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, it was yesterday that we were talking about you. That's crazy. What are some of the other programs that you've created or expanded? We touched on Tasty Tuesday just a little bit, but I don't know if you got a chance to...
We didn't really. That was, certainly we... That was
I know
a
that it's
really
been one
cool
that's,
scenario.
Like, really increased visibility.
It has exploded.
And sense of community. Yep. And so, like, take a minute to talk about
sure.
that.
Sure. It's an interesting situation. So, the first year, I started in May, so I was looking at, you know, midsummer right out of the gate.
When you fought all of the construction stuff.
And we had, we had all of the
you
Main
were facing
Street.
That.
Actually, the day I started was the day they dug the first hole on Main Street.
Good, good luck with that
there you go.
Economy and community as we tear up your
That's
Main
right.
Street.
Yeah. But the first year I spent some time trying to get food trucks to come set up at one of our parks or just be there on a lunch and yada yada. And it was just, people are driving through Lisbon, they're not stopping. We're not gonna do that. And the following year I got a call from a gentleman that I've worked with before, Randy at Pinky D's, and I'm sure you know Pinky. He called and said, hey, look, I've got three or four other food trucks that are tired of driving to Westbrook or driving, could we set up a weeknight in Lisbon? And no offense, I was thrilled they didn't call Lewiston, they called me.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I said, so if you can bring four or five food trucks, we can make this happen. Within a week, we had 10 trucks that wanted to do it all summer. And even the very first night, we probably had 1,000 people.
Yeah.
It has exploded. We had one last night where we were, and we have parking easily for about 150 people on our lot, and we were just sending people through the lot because there were no spaces.
Yeah.
There's lots of other parking downtown, but you have to count on the cyclical rotation of food trucks, right?
Yeah.
People come in, they park, they eat, they leave, right?
Yeah.
And it opens up another spot. But it has been just an absolute amazing experience. So this is our second year doing it, and when we put out the call in January, we had 35 trucks sign up.
Yeah.
And then we had to make some hard choices because you can only have 10 to 12 a week. You can't go quite that big.
No.
So, but it's been great. They've all been accommodating. They've been wonderful. We've canceled twice, one for rain, one for heat. But, I've got Discover Lisbon, which is sort of the new version of Positive Change Lisbon, is still fully active in a Main Street organization. And they send on volunteers and help with the parking. So I've got, 5 to 10 volunteers out there moving all these cars around every week, every other week. And it's been amazing to watch and to see people coming from, I believe, all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, they are traveling from at least 20, 30 minutes away to come to this.
Well, so the thing that's super cool about a food truck gathering like that, and I love, like, I have a big family, I love going to that, everybody picking a food truck, grabbing one or two items from it, coming back, and you get to try six or seven different things. I don't have to choose. That's
you're
the
absolutely
beauty.
Right.
I'll take an appetizer from that truck.
And it happens. In the field, you've got these circles of chairs where everybody's bringing chairs, and you've got 10 to 12 people in a giant circle. They're passing
love
food around, having a great time.
Love. Anytime really I don't have to pick and can just, like, try a bite of everything is a great night in my book. And
absolutely.
I mean, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's building community and supporting businesses.
It sure is.
And Pinky D's lives and parks his truck in Lisbon.
Yeah, he lives in Lisbon. Like, we've actually got three trucks that are from Lisbon that operate in this food truck. It's fantastic.
See?
Yeah. And we get them coming. I was getting calls from Bangor and York from food trucks who want to come be part of this. So
the thing I love about that story is I think it's just a really easy to understand visual of what it means to support business, economy, and community all at once.
Right.
Right. Like, parse piece out of that.
Right.
Like, have the businesses be supported, but don't build community with people coming and spending time in the park together.
Yeah,
you can't separate it.
It's hard because, sure, a couple of businesses are like, well, wait a minute, I'm open on a Tuesday night. What are you doing? Well, I'm sorry, but think about the 1,000 people that are coming. They're going to see your restaurant and they may come back next weekend and look for a place to have dinner. And so most of the businesses have sort of jumped in and said, hey, you know what? We're going to advertise advertised that you could come get a free dessert if you bring your food truck come have a beer with us because we're not selling alcohol in
the park.
So that's the thing.
Cocktails and beverages is a great opportunity.
Bring your food truck, and lots of them are doing it. So it's really, it's a neat blend of support and interest.
Sometimes we shut down a street on Lisbon Street in Lewiston for an event, and you know, sometimes there's business owners who see that and just are like, oh, you're really making it hard for me. And then realize that you're drawing hundreds of people to a street that they might not have considered before, exposing them. And that's just at the event, let alone the advanced marketing of like who's there and what opportunities. That sometimes you have to show it for people to understand how to leverage it, how to make the most of it for their own best bottom line.
And not to give away an industry secret, but food trucks, each one of them has several thousand followers.
Yeah.
So when they share that you're there in Lisbon and 10 trucks are sharing it, there are people seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's getting some great marketing traction. Sure.
Well, and that's good for raising awareness about Lisbon and the quality of life events in Lisbon. Yep. You see, that's just genius.
Just happening.
Sir, just genius. Just happening. So we're talking about this anyway. Lisbon itself, and then you in your own 3 years, but has seen strong momentum in recent years. One of my favorite statistics, and I don't know what the current year is, but 3 years ago, Lisbon was pulling the highest dollar amount of business permits in the state.
Nice.
So when we talk about momentum, I mean in like really data-informed ways, given that momentum, how do you keep people aligned and energized?
Well, again, I think it comes back to sharing a vision and having it. I'm going to tell a little story that we keep coming back to. In 2012 or 13, ballpark, Positive Change Lisbon decided to have a developer panel. Mm-hmm. And we brought three developers in. And we had the town council there, we had the planning board there, we had residents there. It was held at the school, and they put these three developers on the stage. They made me moderate, and I said, all right, gentlemen, why won't you develop in Lisbon? Why? And these were three gentlemen who've done a ton of work around the region. Primarily, Topson was one of the biggest developers, and he's on our stage, and I said, why won't you develop in Lisbon? He looked right at me, he said, because your town's a dump. And the place got really, really quiet.
Yeah.
And I said, can you expand on that? He said, I'd love to. The truth is, I'd never driven through your neighborhoods until about an hour before this meeting. What I've driven was 196 from one end to the other. And when you have broke down cars and your gateways are unattractive and failing buildings and things, and said, I did a little more looking, and I found out that you don't have any planning standards. So if I come and I buy a 5-acre piece of property and I put a $20 million building on there, the guy next door can be a junk pile and kill my property value. And there's no rules, right? So from that meeting, everybody got on board. And the planning board sat down real hard to work on rules and guidelines. And we have a 196 master plan. And all of this stuff came in as a design standards for the main corridor. So as you're developing now, you have to sort of meet certain thresholds and have certain things. That individual, about 3 years later, bought the lot and built the Rusty Lantern down in Lisbon.
That's one of my favorite designed projects.
Yep, because all of it is off the road, and you have a beautiful face on the front of the road.
It gives you a really small town business feel, and all of the pumps and all of the awnings of the pumps and all of the parking.
All of that is behind the building.
It's just really maintained. And I will not divulge all of the places where I can think of that has not been followed.
Absolutely.
And that it visually impacts in negative ways the street design. And so,
but to have a developer of that caliber sort of see where we were, watch our changes, and then come back in and say, okay,
it's my time.
Now I'm going to put some money in here.
Yeah.
And he's done other projects in Lisbon, too, that have been fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
So really excited to have those kind of relationships and build that kind of stuff, which leads us into the next challenge for us is the village. So Lisbon was originally sort of three sub-communities.
So I've often referred to it before I actually started knowing more about Lisbon. Years ago when I moved here, we used to refer to it as Lisbon 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, it was, because there were three mills.
Yeah.
And that's the way the town sort of grew.
Developed,
There was a mill in the falls, there was a mill in Lisbon Center, and a mill in Lisbon Village. Eventually, Lisbon Center Mill got torn down, and those two sort of sections of town became one.
Mm-hmm.
We are two zip codes, but we're all one town. Same administration, same police departments, fire department has two stations. But the challenge for us now is everybody has wanted to be in the Falls because it's got that quaint little Main Street feel.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's trying to find ways to rebirth the village, bring it back as a vibrant downtown, which it was for
years. That Graziano Park has been a really nice kickstart.
It's been a nice start. Interestingly enough, when the town bought it, they bought it to resell it. They bought it to clean it up and resell it. And then they said, in the meantime, let's make it a park and put a little thing up. So there's still, you know, maybe at some point that comes back around. But it's finding a method to tell business owners, hey, if you pick this footprint, we're going to help you. And that's what our business attraction grant is all about. It's we have a defined footprint around the village. Mm-hmm. It's for businesses that are expanding or relocating. We won't fund a startup, but we want an established business. And they can get, depending on how many employees they have, up to $20,000 for a commitment of 5 years to stay in this footprint. So it's an opportunity to get the word out, tell people about it, throw a little money behind it. It's a co-sponsored opportunity with the credit union, so they're funding in for this as well.
Which credit union?
Lisbon Community Federal Credit Union. So it's been great working with them as partners on this, and they have the same vision we do to grow that part of town. So it's been exciting. We've had a lot of feedback coming. We haven't put anybody in a building yet because it's a long process, right? You got to say, all right, I've got these sites
people
available.
People do not understand how long development takes.
Hours, months, years.
Big scale developments, you got to put together a financing package. You got to go through the permitting process, developer review. I've seen really great projects be real and not turn the key to you being able to shop there or live there for 3 years. And people are like, oh, that project's not moving forward. And it's like so much has to happen before the ground gets broken.
I sort of came up with the analogy of being a professional plate spinner.
Yeah.
Recently, where I've just, everything's a project and you've got to go spin it once a week or
just
once every couple of days, just keep it moving forward. But these things, you're right, they don't happen overnight.
No.
And so for this particular project, what happens is a business calls me and I say, okay, here's a list of landowners or building owners that might be a good fit. You guys need to communicate before you apply for this grant money and see if that's a fit for you because we don't want to make you jump through the hoops.
Right.
And then they work through that process and one's a build out. So suddenly, you know, you're talking about what's the build out going to cost, but you know, and this is a 6 month to 2 year project, easy to get somebody into a spot down there. But
and if it's got a range hood and sprinklers, you can add another six months.
Absolutely. No, but it's been great. And the village has got, we have five new duplexes going up down there right now, which
They look great.
We have a fantastic new diner down there, Two Moms Diner, which opened just about a month ago.
I've heard rave reviews about it. And the last time I went to go, it was one of their closed days. So they're still on my must checklist. Yeah,
but they're right in that footprint. And we've got, we've got Angelo's Pizzeria. We've got Juliet's Resales clothing store, which is great. She moved from here. We stole her. Sorry.
Not from me. You know
not from you.
You don't have to apologize. Congratulations on your business acquisition.
You so we have some growing businesses there. We've got some available properties there. And we've got things that I think are slowly clicking in place. Again, it won't be overnight, but I do expect the village to start a slow comeback very soon.
It just doesn't – there's so much that it takes both from the municipal side and from the business owner side.
Right.
And things can be going swimmingly. All parties doing great. All plates spinning. All things falling in place. And it's still an 18-month proposition on the short end.
That's right.
And people just...
And some other funder says, wait, I'm only going to fund this much. And suddenly everything takes a pause for 3-4 months while they figure out the funding again and they come back at it. But I think the thing that's really working in Lisbon is that, and if you, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but that if you go back and you look at Lisbon's population, I mean, literally from the 1800s on, it has been a sine wave. It has...
Interesting.
Not the population, but the growth.
The rate
of growth has been a sine wave to the point where we actually went negative for a little bit in the early 90s, where that was the base was closing, the mill had burned down.
Oh.
And I think that's where we transitioned is we're no longer a single employer kind of town.
Yeah.
So we're not leaning on any one entity that could disappear and leave us with a whole bunch of unemployed folks. We're spread out. We're located 30 minutes from just about everywhere.
Yeah.
Lewiston, Auburn, Bath, Brunswick, Portland, Augusta. I mean, you can live in Lisbon and commute to any one of those communities, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So now we find ourselves actually on an upswing in the growth rate. And, you know, we're actually having in-depth conversations about just how high could this go and how prepared are we?
Yeah.
So smart growth has become a big topic for us right now.
Good.
And to talk about how do we structure it so that we're not overwhelming our schools or our emergency services, and how do we grow in a controlled, smart manner that keeps everything comfortable.
Yeah.
So we don't have overwhelming changes to, tax rates or whatever.
I mean, I think communities that do that, I mean, I'm a I'm an urban planning nerd, and like this is my jam, and I serve on a planning board. So like I get that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but the communities that really leverage good growth and maintain a sustainable growth, maintain the tax base and grow the tax base, did it because they talked about it in advance.
Right. It's all about planning.
Yeah.
And it's a 5 to 10 year project. It's not right away.
There's a reason comp plan cycles are on 10 year cycles, because it takes time to build infrastructure, to see that infrastructure attract or become occupied with whatever its intended use was.
Right.
I think this industry, the community and economic development industry that you and I are both part of, is such a lesson in delayed gratification.
It really
because
is.
You lay down the strategies, you put together the plans and the efforts, and I've been doing that work in community long enough that I've seen those plans move from a focus group or a forum or community conversation to the plan on paper to actually seeing it, being able to walk the streets or the added park or the new bike features or the
step
new building
into the new business and see it succeed.
But my God, it's a 10-year a 10-year venture no matter what, and the places where it's the most exciting are the places where communities are talking about it in advance and planning for it in advance. And you'll never regret that investment time or resources.
No, absolutely not. That's absolutely key to make sure that we don't get run over by the growth bus.
We've seen that happen in Portland, where Portland didn't plan for growth out of the gate and then put these kind of restrictive measures in to slow or harness growth or target growth, depending on what language they were using at the time. And in some ways, what it ultimately did was create some really significant disparities and disrupt some of the key industries that had created the growth in the front end.
Right.
I think that's something Androscoggin County communities, yours, I've seen Lisbon, Lewiston, Auburn do it well. I think Turner and Poland are having good and intentional conversations about growth and being thought about where they put infrastructure, where they incentivize versus limit, carrots and sticks, right? Like you got to use all the tools in the toolkit.
Right.
And I just am really proud of being from this area and the intentionality that folks put in.
Just to throw a quick plug in for the Maine Downtown Center, having their support with our nonprofit, Discover Lisbon, and I work with them too, which is great because I get to sort of get tapped into, all right, well, these are what all these other communities are doing, and okay, well, we need an example of this. Fantastic, here it is. You start working on that. And it's been great to be part of that network.
Yeah.
So they do an amazing job up there.
See, I'm a big fan of networked approaches in general. Before we move on out of this segment, there's one other question that I want to fit into our lead section, and you can pass on it if you want, but boy, I'll think less of you. How have you maybe had to challenge the status quo in some areas for the work that you're doing, and how do you handle any pushback or risk that you're facing?
You know, I think, well, the bottom line, and I'll say this out loud for the people in the back, the council makes the decisions, right? So what I bring them is well-thought-out proposals, and if they question it, we have a discussion, and if they don't like it, it doesn't happen. Disappointing, sure, if I don't get a project through, that's fine, but that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And it sort of goes back to that military lifestyle where I'm here to serve and somebody above me is telling me what the right thing to do is next, and that's what we do. Do I love to throw out creative initiatives? Absolutely. I mean, the food truck thing was a whim and great support from Pinky and the group that came to help us, but you know, it was a whim and it got supported and off we went, which is fantastic. I had to maybe convince some other folks on this, so we wound up changing the ordinance so that we could use our revolving loan funds for grant funds, for business support grants.
Yeah.
And that was sort of an outside-the-box idea for them. They're like, well, wait a minute, this money gets invested and returned. We don't just give it away, but the return on the giving away is really valuable. So if you have some extra and you can have a limited amount that you can set aside for grant giving, we did a little bit of that during the Main Street reconstruction. Our Main Street businesses got absolutely hammered that year. We were able to come up with some funding, and that's where that whole thing happened was I had several businesses saying, I'm just not going to make it. Yeah. I didn't earn the money in the summer. I'm not going to make it through the winter because that's what we do in Maine. Is you sell in the summer and you sort of hunker down in the winter. And several of them were really worried. And we were able to come up with some funding to support those businesses that needed it. And that led to, if we can use this money for that grant, let's see what other grants we can create that will bring in business and create movement in our economy and make things better. And then, so it was great to partner with the credit union on the Lisbon Community Federal Credit Union on that again. But to have their partnership and to bring that to the council, they fully supported it. But we knew it was going to be a unique idea outside the box to say, hey, this is something that really might work. And the whole council and the whole town is focused on the village and trying to make that part of town, which was so vibrant so many years ago, come back to a vibrant part of our community.
So for community leaders, because I believe fundamentally that disruption is part of how you get things done.
That's right.
If the status quo worked, then we wouldn't need to do things in the first place because it would work.
That's correct.
This falls into my most hated phrase of, well, because we've always done it that way, as Mark loves to hear me say, I hate that phrase. And so, I think disruption is key. I think there's some things about how you disrupt that is mindful. And so in your experiences, if you were to tell another leader, disruption's part of what you have to do, and here's some of what I've learned about how to go about it or what I would suggest, is there any, just this one thing you try to think about this one thing?
It's interesting, and it hangs right on the wall of my office. It's a sign my wife made me years ago, and it says, don't tell me why we can't, tell me how we can.
Yeah.
And it sums it up so well. Mm-hmm. And it says, look, you can say no, or you can say, well, let's look at this. Let's figure out the path that gets to whether the goal is a specific business or more general, we need more businesses in the village. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. The path to there is up to all of us, right? How do we get a path that everybody can agree on? And it's not necessarily one answer is the right answer, but let's look at this and keep the goal in mind and figure out the best path to get there. And sometimes when people say no, you have to say, well, wait, let's try again. Yeah. Let's ask again. What you said no to this, but what about this? And what about,
It's about the how.
Yep.
Right? It's about the how. It sounds like your wife is a brilliant woman.
She is absolutely
a brilliant
woman.
You play this for her. You tell her we both said so.
We do. Absolutely. I'm blessed to have her for sure.
Let's move into Thrive. Thrive is about what is working, what gives life and momentum to people and places. In Lisbon, thriving seems to be happening on multiple levels. What does thriving look like in Lisbon today, and what are some of the signals that you're seeing and watching for when you think about how your community's thriving?
Well, I think one of the things that tells me we're on the right path is the fact that my phone rings several times a week with a business saying, hey, I'm looking for a new home, and Lisbon's really interesting. I got a call a couple years ago, actually, when I did the Main Street grant.
Yeah.
It made the news, and a business right here in Lewiston called me and said, I like how you're treating your businesses. Mm-hmm. Can you find me a home? Didn't work out. He moved to somewhere else. But it was that kind of thing. It was people seeing that we're actually concerned about businesses and we're doing that. Just moved a business in onto Main Street, Mimi's Dragonfly Boutique, that's been in Bath for 8 years.
Yeah.
They weren't in the right location. They didn't like what was happening, and they'd heard great things about us, and they moved to Lisbon. And now there's somebody else who was next door to her in Bath who now wants to move to Lisbon too.
Nothing better than word of mouth.
Word of mouth is amazing. Yeah. And trying to be able to keep that momentum going, and even though we're getting, there have been some concerns about the tax base and all this stuff over budget season. It's always that way, right?
Yes. Yes, so always,
the phone may have gotten a little quieter over the last couple of weeks, but we'll get back there. And really it's about, when people are outside of Lisbon, they're saying good things about Lisbon now. Yeah. Years ago it was, oh, you're from Lisbon? I'm sorry. Yeah. Now it's not like that anymore.
No,
people are starting to catch on that there's a buzz in Lisbon. Yeah. We got a new store that opened up a couple of years ago. J. Plum?
They're so
wonderful
great.
Store.
So
wonderful.
Great.
And I went out and met them in Naples.
And they're one of those places that oftentimes have some type of event.
So,
happening.
Yeah,
they just do great with an experience and not just shopping.
The experiential approach in Lisbon is absolutely paying huge dividends. I think, whether it's Olive Pit Brewing having open mics or dog events or Frank's having
a
band or J. Plum having sip and shop events. And every now and then the businesses will get together on their own and have three or four on the same day and co-market each other. It's creating that kind of energy and buzz where the business leaders all know each other, which is why we have these quarterly quarterly meeting so that people can know faces to names and feel comfortable calling each other and say, hey, I'm doing an event on Saturday. Could you do one too? And we can cross that, you know.
So, I mean, so networking events are like a must-do in the chamber industry.
Sure.
We're 147 years old as an organization. Like, networking is one of those, like, oftentimes somebody who doesn't know anything about chambers will be like, well, what do they do?
Yeah.
Network,
yeah.
Right? Network. Like, it's
right.
just a...
Right.
And I don't think people understand why networking is important and how... networking only through the social media network, like having friended or followed that page is not the same as being able to call your next door neighbor because you have their number and ask if they have some to-go forks because the truck didn't come in today.
Right. Running down the road for $20 of cash because they ran out of ones. Exactly.
It's those things.
And you've seen it at our breakfast, right? So what we do with our breakfast is we all sort of spend a few minutes saying hi, and then we have some presentation that's 20, 30 minutes long. And then we spend 20, 30 minutes going around the room and people talking about their current challenges. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, somebody will say a challenge. Somebody else in the room will say, talk to me afterwards. I just dealt with that.
Yeah.
And that's where we really get the synergy, is people supporting each other. It's not hired consultants. It's not bringing in experts. It's just leaning on each other and growing together. And it's really, really valuable.
Creating the space for people to network and connect and to have, even as you just, I mean, because we do this too, the making sure there's a topic that's important, but like just creating the space to actually connect, to talk to each other. I sometimes go to networking events that's so programmatic. You don't get the opportunity to make new relationships or grow your relationships, and that's really meaningful. You've just done a great job explaining why networking is important when I spend a lot of time trying to explain to people why it's valuable. So I think that matters. What are some of the ways that residents or businesses have surprised you as they've engaged with some of the initiatives?
Well, again, you know, fighting for food truck attention and then having them call me the following spring and say, hey, we just want to do something. And then having the state of Maine show up. I mean, it's incredible. They're coming from all over. That surprised me. I think that's great. You know, we had a Moxie weekend a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if you noticed, but it poured rain during our parade.
It did notice.
And as we discovered later that afternoon, the downside of that is everybody dropped their candy and ran. So we had a parade route that was just covered in candy.
Yeah.
And litter, because people normally clean up after themselves, but when it's pouring rain, you grab what you can grab and you keep going, right? So we reached out to the Discover Lisbon group, and the next morning there were 25 volunteers on a Sunday morning walking down the street picking up trash in different sections. And just to be able to say, you know, I don't have to wait till Public Works gets out there on Monday or Tuesday. We can take care of this right now. And people driving through our town on a Sunday afternoon will find it attractive instead of driving by going, look at all the wrappers, you know. And it took us an hour and a half, maybe, you know. And it was such a small thing, but such a big thing at the same time, right?
Small things can have very big impacts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I just think, you know, generally people being supportive of the experiential stuff that's happening downtown, supportive of the local businesses. The folks in Lisbon are very shop local focused.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job of whether it's the coffee shop or J Plum Home or Lisbon House of Pizza.
I was going to say L Hop. Big love to L Hop.
I had an L Hop lunch. Yeah. I got to tell you.
Yep.
And, you know, under new ownership, she's doing a great job. Tracy took over there.
She's doing incredible.
She's doing a great job. So I'm really excited to see them thrive. But again, it's Lisbon folks shopping local.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody still goes to Amazon, do what they have to. But it's no longer, when Amy and I moved to town, and that was in 2000, we talked about going out, and it was either Topsom or Lewiston.
Yeah.
It was not, there was no going out.
There's no reason to leave Lisbon anymore.
We don't have to anymore. But, right.
Which, by the way, other people should go to Lisbon who don't live there and vice versa.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's lots of local economy, but you don't need to.
Whether it's the amazing culinary experience of Flux a live band at Frank's or, you know, the beer at Olive Pit Brewing or, you know, again, Two Moms Diner, go grab a good breakfast. We've got something that covers just about everything. And we've got some amazing industries that are happening.
The poutine that Frank's does.
Yeah, they had a poutine. I was still on the menu, but they've done that in the past. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So,
and their owners are so sweet.
They're great.
That's every time I go to Lisbon and connect with the business owners there, it reminds me so much of the community that I grew up in, where the business owners are residents. They mm-hmm. are community members. They are going to support the Little League because that's their kid's Little League.
Right.
And it just shows when you talk to folks.
You know, when you see kindness in action,
yeah.
right? When we had a fire on Union Street at 2 o'clock in the morning and the coffee shop opened their doors so that the fire department could get in there on the coldest night of the year in yeah. February and warm up and go back out and fight this fire, or during the October event a couple of years ago with Tracy at Lisbon House delivering pizzas to all the police and fire mm-hmm. and medical need. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So, you know, the really neat thing about Lisbon is that we absolutely support each other.
Yeah.
And there's no question, should people need support, it's there.
Yeah.
You know, and I like living there and being there because yeah. what's going to happen is I'm going to get a call at 10 o'clock at night from a business that said, I just lost a freezer. I got $20,000 worth of meat. Can you help? And I find them help, you
yeah.
know, because they may not have a connection. But it's I wouldn't feel that way if I didn't live in my
yeah.
own community, right, and know the people who are mm. running these businesses personally, and you know,
yeah.
it's such a great fit. I gotta tell you, I found the perfect job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really enjoyable to know you personally and professionally and watch you go through different roles, find and settle into, and then just blossom.
Thank you.
In this role. Well, it's, I mean, you're welcome, but also to the thank you, right? Because everything that you're doing benefits our county, benefits our other members, our members in and outside of Lisbon, and I'm really glad that you get to enjoy it the way that you do, but the benefit that you give to others is outweighs that which you feel personally, and that's the beauty, right? Like, when
right.
you can get both, win-win,
yep.
I absolutely love that. Mark, anything yeah. you want to ask or throw in before we make Ross reflect in our challenging looking
oh,
back
no.
leading forward
We're gonna
section?
We're going to make you reflect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you don't have a choice.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to interview Kate Madore.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's amazing.
A couple weeks ago prior to the festival. And you want to talk about a great cheerleader and
she
ambassador
is,
for your town.
Yep.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were talking Moxie Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, like, your view of that event and what it means to your community.
Moxie's an incredible opportunity. And I see it sort of in the same way as the food trucks, where it brings a lot of people to our mm-hmm. community and who get to experience what we have to offer, whether it's downtown, whether it's the events that they put on for Moxie. It's such a great way. And I think more importantly, though, it's I think a deep-seated moment for all the residents to sort of be proud of their own hometown.
Mm.
And that is really, you know, when we started Positive Change Lisbon 12, 15 years ago, whatever it was, one of the things we felt was that the town felt like the ugly duckling, right? People walked around and said, oh, I'm from Lisbon. And we mentioned this earlier, right? Well, I think now they're starting to feel like swans.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And people, and Moxie's that time of year where everybody feels like they're, you know, they're puffing
darn
up their
right.
chest a little
I'm
bit.
From the home
I'm from
Moxie.
You know, and I think it's great. I'm not a huge fan of the drink, but that's okay. You don't have to be. It's about the culture and the attitude
yeah.
and the spirit of the event. And I think just having that event to just continue to show our hometown pride is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
I love how orange everything gets.
Yes.
That's when you know it's like, it's Moxie.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Moxie time.
I have a vision of tiger lilies lining 196. If we could ever get them all out there.
Oh.
Because they bloom right at the right
yeah.
time for Moxie.
And it's the right color orange.
It's a perfect color. So I was always,
you need
always
those
thinking
like ditch
just
lily
yeah.
orange.
Yep, yep.
Those.
Yep.
I That's can help funny. You with some of those. I don't know about enough to line the corridor.
We need to cover, you know, yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. The festival, it's attracting national
talent. Oh, it absolutely,
talent.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I guess the Moxie Chugging Contest
yeah.
winner this year is a national competitor
yes.
who said, oh, look at this little festival. Yep. I haven't won yet. Let me go there.
Yeah.
You know, and apparently won it. So great
And didn't
job.
You have a marching band from Wisconsin?
We had a marching band come in from Wisconsin, and in the rain, there they are, marching down the street, having a grand old time.
How did that happen?
I'm not sure. We'd have to ask the
that's
Moxie coordinators.
Fun.
But yeah, that's a lot of fun. I marching bands, I'm a big fan.
Same.
yeah, if I remember correctly, there were over 70 of them.
Oh, it was a
And they
band.
Slept in the gymnasium
they
at Lisbon
at the
high school.
Yeah,
I feel like that's probably not uncommon for a marching band, though. They're
yeah,
like,
probably.
Ah, here's another,
yeah.
here's another night on the cots.
Right, right. yeah, I have great memories of that festival. I used to be an avid runner, and
oh,
I do the 5K every
yep.
year, and it was one of the best. I mean, as far as camaraderie, and as soon as I parked my car. I'm greeted with a smile, and here's your T-shirt, and
you know what?
Good
luck. We're finding that to be the trend. So we now have the Blues Fest. We have the Reggae Festival coming up August 2nd as well. There's a it's not fully announced yet, but I understand there's something called Smoke on the Water, which is going to be a barbecue chili event down on the waterfront, which is very, very cool in October timeframe. And we have another 5K coming in the fall. And all these events just feel so welcoming.
Yeah,
you go to them and you feel like, this is where I belong. I want to be part of this. And it's, you know, the site is just an amazing site to finally have back in our possession. And
the Warrumbo.
The Warrumbo waterfront is just incredible. Incredible. You see bald eagles flying right over you all the time. It's just, it's an amazing spot. So,
Good. Thank you for asking that, because Moxie deserves some touching on. We always close out with a little segment, looking back, leading forward, where we invite you to share advice or insights that help us lead forward into the future. So when you look back on your journey from military service to local leadership and all of the things in between, what advice would you give to someone who's just beginning their path of service, regardless of whether it's in business or public work or community building?
I would say two things. One, in the military, it wasn't really my choice. I was deployed for 6 months at a time. I'd be sent away, whatever. So family time wasn't really my option. I had an amazing wife who supported the whole process, and you can't say enough about military spouses. It's just the way it is. But, you know, I think after I got out, I still continued to work that hard, right? Mm-hmm. And I still continue to say, well, it's the job, and the job is everything. And as much as this job is everything, and I love my community, make sure you are balancing home time and community time. I mean, now, for years, Amy has come along to volunteer events, and we've done stuff together. But it's still, you know, you still have to find that balance, right? So that might be the downside to living in the community that you work in, is you don't get to go home at night and write it off, you know? But it's still rewarding if you can find that balance. I think that's really important. And also, I think the other thing for me musically, I didn't pick up a guitar until, you know, 20 years ago, and I should have started much earlier. So, you know, if you have a passion, chase it on your own time, and make sure you're chasing that as well, because it's just as important to fill your own cup as it is to fill the requirements of your job, and it's important that you find that balance.
I cannot lift up that advice. Like, folks, rewind this and listen to that last 30 seconds again. I think we ask a similar question to all of our guests, and oftentimes the advice is about, you know, what skills to build or what goals to set. And that's an important piece for sure. But so many leaders, particularly young leaders who are just starting their own journey of leadership, have a give all mentality, myself included.
Again, I have it too, but I have to keep checking it.
I've watched really incredible people with amazing energy and amazing vision not sustain.
Right.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's our job to sustain ourselves for the things that
burnout is real, and you've got to combat it early on.
It's just that.
And if you can build those habits while you're young,
everything flows from that.
A son and his wife and a granddaughter in New York City. They travel all the time, and they all both have great full time jobs, but they prioritize.
Yeah,
we're going to Iceland. We're going to Brazil. I'm not talking. They drive to the Catskills. I'm talking they fly, you know, around the globe and spend a week and then come back and go back to work. And I'm seeing that a lot more in that generation, which is great. But, it's really important as you get into the workforce and you want to dive head first, and you want to make that impression, and you want to be the top dog in your field. But make sure you balance it out, because the top dog, you know, can run out of steam pretty quick if you don't. So.
No, it's great advice. Any parting words from either of you? I appreciate your time. Anything that you didn't get to say
I covered a lot. Yeah, I really did. I do want to throw a shout out to all the businesses in Lisbon who are doing great work.
Yeah.
And supporting each other and helping us as a community grow. And it just keeps going.
What is a place where someone could learn more about either Discover Lisbon or the town of Lisbon?
DiscoverLisbonME.org is Discover Lisbon's website. Community calendar, that kind of stuff is on there. Town of Lisbon, Lisbon lisbonme.org. You can go to the economic page or Facebook, of course, Lisbon Economic Community Development on Facebook or Discover Lisbon on Facebook. Both of those have very active pages, and we try real hard to share everything that's happening in town. So if you connect with one of those, you'll learn about our businesses and you'll learn about the great things happening.
So go check out Lisbon. Plan to stop in for one of their festival weekends.
And come on down.
Yeah.
Come on down and see us and grab lunch and park for free. We don't charge.
Isn't that convenient? Thanks, Ross. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been a great experience. I appreciate it.